I appreciate very much the opportunity that I have tonight to be here with you. I've enjoyed your singing and your gracious invitation to come back and be with you. And I count it a great privilege to be in your fellowship here tonight. But I hope that we will remember that our past blessings have been consumed by necessities of the past. And we stand again as poor beggars at mercy's door. And if the Lord does not come and condescend to our presence this evening, our efforts here will be in vain. But if he does and is pleased to give us a spirit of worship, it'll be a grand experience for us who are gathered here tonight. Call your attention tonight to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. As you began to read this particular ending to this prison epistle that the apostle has written to the church at Ephesus, we find some wonderful practical instructions that are given here, and not only were they good in that day, but how wonderful they are in this day. To begin with, the apostle talks about the great doctrinal subjects in this particular book, how that we are chosen, how that we are without blame, how that we are predestinated, adopted, accepted, beloved, redeemed, and forgiven. What wonderful themes they are. That great doctrine of election. You know, there's some people that have the idea that God looked down through the channels of time and saw those who would profess faith in him, and based on that foreseen faith, God chose them to salvation. Well, now you may believe that, but I don't preach it that way. Then there are some that have the idea that election was an afterthought of the fall. That after man fell, God said, well, I better save some before I lose them all. Well, that's not what I believe either, and that's not what the Bible teaches. Amen?
Amen.
But we believe that, as Paul taught, that according or in agreement with the purpose of God, according as he has chosen us in him, the time element being before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What a wonderful blessing it is. And that tells me that that was a past completed action with a present continuing effect. So Paul tells us about those who are chosen, those who are without blame, those who are predestinated, those who are adopted, those who are accepted, those who are beloved, those who are redeemed, those who are forgiven. And those are the exact ones that Paul says to put on the whole armor of God. So he comes now to the ending of this particular chapter. And he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Brethren, I want to say this just in passing tonight, that I think that it is very important for God's people in the church who know and understand the truth of the gospel, as I believe you do, to be strong in that truth and the Lord of that truth. Would you all have that? Now, for that reason, Paul said, now I'm coming to you finally. I'm winding up my message. And I'm saying to you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he tells us and gives us these blessed instructions of how to do this. Now, remember this tonight, that this is not to the dead alien sinner. That this is not to that man who is dead in sin, but this message is to the church at Ephesus, to those who had been given a hope of eternal life after a while. So we can't apply this to everybody, can we? We must apply it to those who Paul is speaking to here and under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And he says to these, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, he didn't say put on part of it, but he said put on the whole, W-H-O-L-E, the complete armor of God. Now, what was the reason for putting on the whole or complete armor of God? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, I believe it is. Listen to what the apostle says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I say tonight, and I believe by the authority of the scripture, that the devil is a real and a vital personality. I don't believe that he's just that old nature that you've got in you. Jesus Christ was carried up into a mountain by a real, vital personality. Jesus Christ contended with that personality called the devil for numbers of days, and Peter writes here and says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a ravenous beast, as a roaring lion, walketh about. You know, he's not lazy, is he? He's on the move. Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you today that the devil himself is quite a successful personality. The devil himself has a way of devouring the children of God. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to cast you off into eternal misery. He can't do that. He doesn't have that authority, doesn't have that power. You know, the Bible tells me in John chapter 10, in that great sheep sermon, he says this, talking about his sheep, he said, I give unto them eternal life. He didn't say I offer them eternal life, but I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You know what the word never in Greek means? It means never. Y'all didn't know I had such a command of the Greek language, did you? It means never. That simply means that the possibility of such a thing does not exist. But I'll tell you one thing, the devil can deal you havoc while you live here in this world. That's what he says here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, like a ravenous beast, walketh about going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And I want you to understand tonight, brothers and sisters, that there are plenty of God's children that have succumbed to this thing called the devil. I tell you that there are alcoholics today, there are drug addicts, you name it, that the devil himself has caused them so much misery and pain, and the very things of this life have paled to the background because they have failed in some regard to put on the whole armor of God. Go with me back to our text now. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. When the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32 and 29, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Hear that? In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20, the Bible said, hear counsel and receive understanding, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. I'll tell you right now, and I say this to you young people tonight, it's incumbent upon you as children of God that I believe that you are to look beyond the end of your nose. To look beyond the here and the now. There's some of us, and me included, that back down through the years, I have lived for the present. I've not looked down the road at see why and see what kind of consequences may be down the road. But I'll tell you right now, the Apostle Paul tells us, the Apostle Peter tells us, Solomon tells us, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they could consider their latter end. What's down the road? You know, I've said this before, may have said it here. Sometimes you may see on the television, used to they had a commercial on television, you saw the Rocky Mountains in the background, you saw a beautiful stream coming down a mountain and in a serpentine way, making its way along some beautiful country. You saw men on the riverbank cooking trout with canoes and a fire going, and oh, it's a beautiful picture. Do you know what that was? It was a beer commercial. That's what it was. It was a beer commercial. And it was a beautiful picture, all right. But I want you to understand this. They don't show you the end result. You know what they said about it? They said, it doesn't get any better than this. And I'll tell you, that's the truth. It don't get better. It gets worse. Gets worse. They don't show you the carnage on the highway from a drunk driver. They don't show you the misery that alcohol brings to so many families. They don't show you that. You know what's first and foremost in their mind? That almighty dollar. That almighty dollar. Well, I'll tell you this today, that you need to consider your latter end. What's down the road? You need to consider that. Now, that's not going to change God's purpose. God's purpose is just as sure as it ever was. It's not going to change a thing in God's plan from eternity past. God's children are just as sure for heaven as if there's already there. As if there's already there, God's child is just as sure for that. But I want to tell you, I'm not talking about the sweet by and by. I'm talking about the nasty now and now. The right now that you're going to have to live. That's what the Bible tells us here. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I'll tell you today that when you come into this world, as you are here, as you labor in the kingdom of God, let me tell you right now, you have a responsibility not only to God, but also to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to which you are a member, to stand for the cause of truth. Amen. Yes, sir. Now, I want to tell you today that there are folks in this world. You know, I thought when I was a young man, when I was about 18 years old, I had so much vim and so much, I don't know the terminology to use, but I tell you, I was so convinced of myself that if anybody would give me about 30 minutes, I'd convince them what Primitive Baptists believe was the truth. That's all it'd take me, about 30 minutes. I want to tell you one thing. It didn't take me long to figure out everybody wasn't interested in what I had to say. Everybody just wasn't interested in it. But I'll tell you today that when you come to the house of God, when you come to the church of God, it's necessary that you put on the whole armor of God, because Satan himself will come in that door with you and he'll sit down with you on the pew. Brother Fred Stewart says he'll come in the pulpit and wear your britches. And I'll tell you, I've had that experience a few times. Had that experience a few times. The Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And when we've done that, I'll tell you, there is that wonderful experience we have of seeing Satan himself being resisted, Satan himself being put behind us. One of the saddest statements in all the Bible to me is when the Bible tells me in 1 Timothy 4:10, when Paul said that Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. I'll tell you, there are folks that love this present world. Demas was one time a close follower of the Apostle Paul. But I'll tell you that Demas forsook him because he loved this present world. I know people that one time loved the church. One time when the doors were open, they were there. One time when they saw the truth and saw the church, what a beautiful experience it was. But somehow or another, they forgot to put on the whole armor of God. You know, I think that very thing happened to a great man called David. I really do. David got into trouble. David was a great man, a man after God's own heart in many ways. David was that man whom they came out and they praised in such a manner to say that Saul has slain his thousands, but David is 10,000. You know, as this man began to be elevated in the eyes of himself and many others, do you know what began to take place in this man's life? His eyes began to get him in trouble. He began to cast his eyes on possessions that were not his. And I'll tell you, there came a point in this man's life to where grievous sins had been committed, and the sword never departed from his house after all of that. But I say to you that David came down to the end of his life. He didn't forget where he came from. He never forgot his experience. And he said, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Although my house, this old tabernacle, he knew it wasn't like it ought to be. I'll tell you right now, yours not like it ought to be either. Hear me? The other day I had a funeral over in Cherokee County. And a man over there, and I didn't know the family, but I knew some of them. And I didn't know the circumstances. When I got over there, I found out that this man had died under quite peculiar circumstances. Nobody never knew much about it. But I got over there, and I come to find out his reputation wasn't too good. You know, I tell you, old Baptist preachers can, you know, some of our funeral directors think old Baptists make a child of God out of anybody. You know, I mean, that's happened before. I've had them say, call Brother Ricky, he can make a child of God out of anybody. But I'll tell you, I can't make one out of nobody, you hear me? If he's one not because I made him, and not because he's made the right decision, held out, hold out, or whatever it may be, but because God chose him in a covenant of redemption. But you see, this man had died under peculiar circumstances. When I got there, I found out all about it, and it wasn't a very pretty picture. Wasn't a very pretty picture. And I didn't go into a great deal of the biography of this gentleman because there wasn't any use in that. But I'll tell you what I did say. I said, I would imagine if all of you here today could examine your lives and examine yourself, you'd find out that you're a sinner just like he is a sinner. The reason you die is the same reason he died, because of sin. And I went on and tried to explain that. And I tell you today, brothers and sisters, now some of those circumstances are not very good. And I don't particularly like those situations. But I want to tell you something today. Oh, that when David came down to the end of his life, he realized that he never had put on the whole armor of God. He failed to put it all on. David came down to the end of his life and he said, although my house, this is his last words. You know, last words are admissible in a court of law. They felt like a fella's ever going to tell the truth. That's the time. Yes, sir. David said, although my house be not so with God. He knew it wasn't what it ought to be. He knew that his house was a sinful house. He knew that he'd failed in putting on the whole armor of God. I tell you, when I look at me, if somebody said, we're going to play a videotape of Elder Ricky Harcrow's life, brother, I'm out of here. I'm gone to Alabama. You hear me? I'm out of here. I'm gone. You know why? Because it's not a very pretty picture. It's not a very pretty picture. David's life wasn't a very pretty picture. But he said, although my house is not like it ought to be, he says, in the face of that, he said, he hath made with me. I've not made it with him. He made it with me. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation, and this is all my desire, though he make it not to grow. And tonight, my friends, when you examine yourself and you say, well, Brother Ricky, I've made so many mistakes. I talked to a man the other day about joining the church. Now, I do that occasionally. If I see the fruit of the Spirit in a man's life, I'll talk to him, tell him what I think he ought to do. Now, you may not agree with me on that, but that's all right. We'll leave in fellowship. Amen. You know? But I've done that, and I did that. He said, Brother Ricky, he said, my life has been such a messed up affair. He said, my life has been so clouded with sin. He said, I'm not worthy to be a member of this church or anybody else's church. I said, I know you're not worthy. I said, I'm not either. But I'll tell you, Christ has made us worthy. Amen. Christ has made us worthy. Now, because we've been made worthy, he tells us this. He said, because you're chosen, because you're adopted, because you're predestinated, because you're beloved, redeemed, and forgiven, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Put it all on. He said, because the devil is going to throw everything he can at you to bring you back to the state that you were in. You can say this about those old hard shells down there. Listen, if there's folks back there and if you're waiting to join the church, let me tell you, the devil said, well, now look, you got plenty of time. You got plenty of time. You know this man I talked to the other day, not long ago, I began to talk to him, and he said, Brother Ricky, he said, look, he said, I won't join the church. But he said, I tell you, I'm trying to get through school. He said, I'm getting married in a few days. And he said, when I get married and have a family, I'll have a lot more time to do what I need to do. Brother, he is in for a rude awakening, wasn't he? I'm going to tell you right now, he didn't have on the whole armor of God, did he? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to tell you, somebody, the devil will tell you, say, now you just wait a little while longer. If you'll just wait a little while, you'll have plenty of time. And anyway, when Uncle John Nance is all dead, those folks are probably going to be gone anyway. That's what the devil will tell you. You know, that's what Laban told that old servant when he went after Ruth. Just let her stay with us just a little bit longer. Just stay with us just a little bit longer. I tell you today, brothers and sisters, when you saw the church, when you saw the truth, when you have rejoiced under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, I want to tell you, put on the whole armor of God and don't stay over there in Moab. Come on to Canaan. Amen and amen. Yes, sir. I tell you that Ruth left over there. You know, they talked to her about it, said, well, we've all talked about it. Let's see what she says about it. And you know what? They said, will thou go with this man? She said, I'll go. Well, I'll tell you right now that when God has blessed you to see the truth, put on the whole armor of God, because you know why? It's a military action. That's the reason he talks about the armor. That's a military action. You may have heard old preachers, and I may have said it myself, talk about the militant church. You know, the word militant and military has a connection. It's a warfare. It's a warfare, a military action. And when he says you're put on the whole armor of God, and he tells you about these garments right here. He tells you about these garments. He tells you about the apparel that you need to put on. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. That is, that just simply means keep on keeping on, and supplication for the saints. But not only that, he says, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth, what? Boldly. Boldly. To make known what? The mystery of the gospel. You know, the gospel's a mystery, isn't it? Read Ephesians chapter 3. He talks about that mystery. And he says that this mystery that I now preach, he said this has not been preached like it is now. He said it's been kept hid in Christ since the foundation of the world. But he said it's now preached like it's never been preached before. And when the apostle Paul came on the scene and he began to preach, oh, what a grand experience that was. What a grand message of grace that was. When Paul was going down the road to Damascus with letters of authority to bind the saints and cast them into prison, here was this man. But the Lord arrested that man on the road to Damascus, struck him with such a blindness that he had to be led by friends into a house. There wasn't anybody there with a tract saying, Paul, you get prayed through. There wasn't anybody there preaching to him. There wasn't anybody there trying to deal with him and trying to get him to receive the Lord. No, the Lord came to where he was. And as the Lord came to where he was, at the same time he was working on Saul of Tarsus, he was working on an old Baptist preacher by the name of Ananias. And he said, Ananias, you go to a street called Straight in the house of Judas and inquire for one named Saul. For behold, he prayeth. You know what he told Ananias? Ananias said, Lord, I've heard about this fellow. He's made havoc of the church. He was there present when Stephen was stoned to death. All of this just doesn't add up to, for him to be a very good character, for him to be in the church, or to him for you to use him in a way that needs to be used. Do you know what he said to him? He said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. And I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Oh, listen to this, brothers and sisters, tonight. Paul said, I am an ambassador in bonds. Paul was bound with the Spirit of God to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. I don't believe for one minute that Paul preached in order that men might be saved and go to heaven. But Paul preached and instructed them that they might put on the whole armor of God. And as they put on the whole armor of God, he said, you do this because the devil, as wily as he is, he says he's going to come to you. You know, Job says, man is born of woman a few days and full of trouble. There's an old colored preacher over in our part of the country said one time, a man that's born is not but in a few days in trouble with a woman. Pray over that and it'll come to you in a minute. You hear me? That's right. I mean, sometimes those things become a reality in our lives. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about. He walks to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And I'm going to tell you, there's been a plenty of God's children that he has dragged down. Plenty of them. Because they only had part of the armor of God on. Brothers and sisters, it's incumbent on us tonight to put on the whole armor of God to protect our head, our heart. It's incumbent on us to put on these things in order that we might find ourselves walking in such a manner that would be pleasing unto God and be honoring to God and be glorifying to him in his kingdom right here and right now. Amen. The Church of God, brother, is not a social organization. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a hospital for sinners. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a resting place for God's children who have come to a knowledge of the truth, and what a wonderful rest that is that remains for God's children right now, right here and right now. Now, somebody says, preacher, I tell you, I think if we just start this activity and that activity and this activity, it really puts the old Baptist on the map. That's all we need is some kind of activity. I've said this and I still say it, brother. If the gospel does not bring God's children to the church, you don't need them. The gospel of Christ is God's authorized means of drawing those to the house of God. If you can get them with a hot dog, somebody else can get them with a hamburger. I'll be gone Sunday. I want you to understand this today, my friend. When we become so built up in ourselves that we think that we can improve on the church and do some things that God never authorized and really build the church up, listen, you're not building it up, you're tearing it down. Amen. You know why? Because we've not got on the whole armor of God. The armor of God tells us, gives us instruction how to use it. The armor of God is that which we put on because of the warfare that we go through. Now, you can call me old fogey. You can call me all you want to call me, and that's all right. You know, I'll take all that. That's fine. You can criticize me, and I don't mind that at all if it's deserved. But I want to tell you this, brother. When you start criticizing me, and you start criticizing your pastor, and you start criticizing those who have been called to ministry, if indeed truly we have been called, I want to tell you today, you better be careful, because it's necessary that your pastor and the ministry preach things that oftentimes you just don't like. Didn't get many amens there, did I? Yeah. I preached one time on giving. I do that more than I used to. I used to be afraid to preach it, Brother George. I don't care anymore. I've got old enough, it doesn't matter. Preaching on giving. Somebody said, preacher, preach on tithing. No, I'm not going to preach on tithing because I don't believe that's God's authorized way. I don't believe that's a New Testament principle. Now, if you want to give 10% of what you've got, that's fine and wonderful. But I want to tell you right now, that's not a law that God says you do that. That's just not there. But I preach on giving. And when I preach on giving, do you know what I preach about? I preach on giving this way. I said this and I still say it today, that God's children, or the church of the New Testament, and God's children in that church, did four things. They did four things. In the New Testament church, they preached, they prayed, they sang, and they laid aside on the first day of the week that which God had blessed them to receive. They returned a portion of that to Him. They did four things in the church. We still try to do that today. We still try to do that today. Man asked me one day, he said, Brother Rick, said, I want to come to your church, but he says, how do y'all carry on? I said, well, we start at 10:30. We sing 30 minutes. And then I preach till 12 o'clock. And we shake hands and we eat dinner and we go home. He said, you mean that's all there is to it? I said, that's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. My son-in-law, bless his heart, when him and my daughter got married, my little boy, and I have to be careful about him because he tells things that I don't want him to tell sometimes. Now, have y'all ever had that problem? You know, when he leaves, son, don't tell everything you know. So when this boy, and I've known him all his life, started dating my daughter, they came to go to church with us one Sunday. And Jackson was going to ride to church with him. And he said, Jackson, what time do I need to be there? And he told him. He said, what time does singing start? Jackson said, 10:30. He said, what time Sunday school start? Jackson said, we don't have it. He said, you don't have it. He said, no, I don't have it. He said, why? Jackson said, it ain't scriptural. You know, that's about as good as I could have done with it. Just ain't scriptural.
Now, don't go away from here and say Brother Rick is opposed to young people understanding the truth. I'm not opposed to that. But when Paul preached to young and old alike who were able to receive it. Amen. And today, when we preach to those who are able to receive it. And the instruction is for you to stand with your loins girt about with the truth. Why? Because the devil, like a roaring lion, seeks whom he may devour. Do you know the devil can destroy or get into a church and he can tear it all to pieces? You know how he does that? He does that through people like you and me. Yeah, he does. Sometimes he'll do it through a preacher, George. Sometimes he'll do it through a deacon. And sometimes he'll do it just through a contrary member. You know, there used to be a fellow at home, and he'd get on the telephone and stir up more trouble than I could fix. That telephone's a wonderful thing, but I'll tell you, it makes communication short, doesn't it? It really does. Now, I'm saying all that to say this, brother, and I love you, but I'm saying all that to say this. That for you who love the Lord, who love the church, and who love the gospel, the thing for us to do today is to understand that God has blessed us with the kingdom, that God has blessed us with the church, that he has given us principles to live up to, and now he says to the church in Ephesus and the church of the New Testament, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. It's necessary that we be strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. Oh, I'm not much. I'll tell you what little strength I've got's not much. But I'll tell you, when the Lord blesses me, I feel like I'm strong. When the Lord blesses me and builds me up in his Holy Spirit, you know, I feel like that there's something about the Spirit of God that I can be bold as a lion and yet harmless as a dove. That's how Jesus taught his disciples to be. And thank God today. That when we can come to the house of God and sit down under the sound and influence of the gospel and be built up in the Spirit of God, we can leave here and say, well, I'm going to put on the whole armor of God. And no doubt we do that, but there are times when we let our guard down and we take it off. Listen, this just doesn't happen once a month. This must be done every day. That's the reason the Bible says so much about today, today, today. Today is the day of salvation. Today, today, today. Jesus taught his disciples. He said, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. You see, we need something on a daily basis. You're going to have to put on the whole armor of God on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Yes, sir. Now, there's some folks over in our part of the country that on the second Sunday in May when we have communion, that's when they show up for church. Others will come twice a year. Some will come three times a year. Some will come four times a year. Thank God there's a bunch that come on a regular basis. But, I mean, we've got some that's got leaky buckets. We really have. And I tell you today that when God blesses you to see, you know, so they say, oh, tell me how they love the church and love the Lord. And you don't ever see them. You know, they tell me that all they want to, but their actions prove different. Actions prove different. Well, I say this to you tonight, that when God blesses you to see the truth, to see the blessing of God and stand fast in his word and in his truth, there is a wonderful blessing in standing in the ways and seeing, asking for the old paths and understanding that Paul has said, pray for me. And I trust today that you will pray for those who stand before you. And he says, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am ambassador in bonds. And he says that that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, I wonder sometimes when I get through preaching so many times, have I really said what I needed to say? Have I really preached what I needed to preach? And I'm satisfied that every other minister of the gospel has done that. But I'll tell you that when the gospel is preached in power and in demonstration of the Spirit of God, I'm convinced it will have an effect on God's children. I'm convinced it will have an effect on God's children. I'm convinced that it'll have an effect on this nation. I'm convinced that if the gospel is preached in power, if the gospel is preached like it ought to be preached, that it'll have an effect not only on this nation. I'll tell you today, we've got a government without God. We've got families without foundation. And today, I'm sorry to say, we've got preachers without principles. I'm sorry to say that. But I'll tell you this, this is exactly the reason why we need to put on the whole armor of God. Whole armor of God. Some of you tonight may be here and say, well, Brother Ricky, I've got problems with my family. I've got problems with my home. That touches all of us somewhere along the line. That touches all of us somewhere along the line. Therefore, I'm just going to quit worshiping the Lord. I doubt whether there's a God or not. I want to tell you something today, my friend. When you go through the afflictions of life, when you go through the things in this life, you remember this, that God may be using those things to purge away the dross in your life and bring you back to where you need to be. God is able to do that. Don't kid yourself. He's got ways of putting you in your place. You know, I used to think I was a pretty good preacher. God's got ways of showing you just how much you know. You know, I was driving back down the road from Tennessee one night, been up there to preach, four or five had joined a church, and I just thought to myself, Buster, you have outdone yourself this time. I mean, you really let them have it. When you get back down there, they're not going to know what to think. You have just done such a wonderful job. I got up to preach down there the next day, and I couldn't have told you my name. That's how much in the dark I was. Like Jeremiah, he's led me into darkness and not into light. I'll tell you, God's got ways of putting you in your place. It's a good lesson for us to learn. I didn't have on the whole armor of God, but Proverbs 25 and 4 says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Do you know what? That when God burns away the dross in your life and brings you to where you need to be, it may take afflictions, it may take sickness, I don't know what it may take, but God's got a way of doing that and then overruling that for your good and His glory. He's got a very good way of doing it. I'm not saying He does that all the time, but I'm saying that He does that and can do it. Yes, sir. Aren't you glad today that we can be strong in the Lord? Aren't you glad today that we believe in the grace of God? Aren't you glad today that we believe in the doctrine of election and predestination and the final preservation of the saints and all that God justified He's going to call and all those are finally going to be saved in heaven? Well, I'll tell you right now, that ought to put you on shouting ground. That ought to do something for you that this world can't do. That ought to do something for you. Somebody said one time, Brother Ricky, what you preach is a hindrance to evangelism. I tell you today, brother, what more encouragement would I want to preach than to say that God has a people in every nation and every tongue. I tell you, that's the reason I preach. Amen. Yes, sir. That's not a hindrance to evangelism. That's the message of evangelism. That's what it takes. And when that message is preached in power and demonstration of the Spirit, it not only involves election and predestination and preservation and calling and justification, but it also involves standing strong. It also involves putting on the whole armor of God, praying for one another, and us keeping on in the good word of God. Thank God today we still have that, and what a blessing it is. And I rejoice in that blessed truth today. I rejoice in that blessed truth. I'm not tired of the old doctrines of grace. I'm not tired of the great blessing of understanding what God has done for me before the foundation of the world. And because of that, I can put on the whole armor of God. Because He's chose me, elected me, forgiven me, adopted me, I can put on the whole armor of God. And I can't do it any other way. Thank God today that is the grand message. Thank God today that we can rest our case right there. And I'll rest my case right there tonight. And if you're here tonight and you believe these precious things, I can tell you that the Lord has a great blessing for you. And when you discharge your duty before the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. You show me the river and I'll cross it. You show me the mountain and I'll climb it. I'll put on the whole armor of God, and all the lawyers in Texas and devils in hell is not going to daunt my pace. No, sir. I'll tell you, we get built up in the Spirit of God like that. But it doesn't last always. We have to be renewed in it, don't we? We have to go again and again and again and again. And that's the reason I go to church. That's the reason I go to the house of God. I have to be built up again and again and again and again. And thank God today, this is a gospel that we can hear again and again and again and again. It's a blessed story that never grows old. And that's how wonderful it is to me today. My daddy, bless his heart, and I close with this. He was a faithful member of the church. And I went by there going to church one day, and he was dying with cancer. Couldn't get up and go, and I said, "Daddy, you want to go to church with me today?" He said, "Oh, I'd love to go." We went on and talked a few minutes. He said, "But I just can't." I said, "Well, you know about what you're going to hear when you get there, don't you?" He said, "Yeah, but I want to hear it one more time." And I'll tell you right now, I want to hear it one more time. One more time. And I thank God today that I can hear it one more time. And even though it's an old story, it's ever new. Therefore, we stand fast on the principles of grace. We stand fast on what God has blessed us to see and to know. And he says, "Finally, my brethren, stand in the Lord. Stand in those things. Put on the whole armor of God. And when you've done that," he said, "you'll be able to withstand the wiles of the devil." And thank God today that we've got a God that's greater than the devil ever thought about being. Yes, sir. Even though he may give us trouble while we live, and he will and he does, thank God we've got a God that one of these days is going to cast him into a place where he and all his cohorts will be prepared for him. And I thank God today that I can worship that God and rejoice in him today. Thank you for your good order and your kind attention, Brother George.